Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull, Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern. Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Joecast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 16th of April, 2025. This is episode 358, and a nice, quiet evening. Not much to discuss. Yeah. We'll be in and out of here, half an hour probably, get things nice and wrapped up.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't... It was a doozy of a week from all the... All the text messages, and I step away from my phone, and in a span of 3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 60 messages, 60. It was unbelievable. I was like, this cannot possibly be right. And lo and behold, what a
yeah. The events that actually justified that volume of messages didn't pop off the way. So when there's like hundreds of messages going off in that particular group chat, we're just talking absolute nonsense. But then when there's actual dramatic breaking news in New Japan, then there's just like 5 messages there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and some too. Yeah, crazy, right? I think we're truth be told, I don't know what and what not was discussed in our Discord. But I'll let you steer the ship. Tell me where you want to go, and we will discuss all that we know up until here on Wednesday, the 16th of April at 5:47 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is like 10:30 at night. Joel is buzzed off of a big Arsenal win, and quite frankly, so am I. I'm happy for the dude. We should all show some love for Joel in this moment of prosperity for Arsenal.
Right. Okay. I know it's a sad day for a lot of people, and everyone wants me to be to match that energy. And I will get there, but unfortunately I can't at the moment because I'm still absolutely buzzing about Arsenal making it into the last 4 of the Champions League.
Yes.
An absolute dominance against the European champions, Real Madrid. I am over the moon. We have been magnificent over the 2 legs, bar a couple of daft moments. You watched it as well, Damon. What did you think of the mighty Arsenal?
They were dominant. Again, that one turnover was fucking brutal. But redemption. Scored a quick goal after that. A little bit after that. But yeah. I was kind of actually surprised because, you know, again, I'm not, you know, Mr. fucking Champions League or anything, but It did look like they had more legs. They looked like they controlled the pace. They looked like they controlled possession. Like all the things you're looking for. Like I didn't really see like a really grade A chance aside from the turnover. I didn't really see any grade A chances from Real Madrid. So, I would be fucking moonwalking right now, dude. Like that's, you had a dominant win. And now you play, who do you play next? Did you said it? I can't remember. Paris?
Yeah, it's correct. I've lost you again on the audio. Right, sorry. I'm so sorry, YouTube people. I'm going to try one more time.
Oh, my Lord. God damn it. So when you come back, we'll just go, and that's why half the company's leaving. And that is all the news we have about that situation. We're not going to talk about it ever again. The firings, the mass exodus.
Yes, they'll never let us discuss that again, Damon. We've given you all the reasons there why Tessie Naito and Bushi have left the company, and
right.
That is it.
There that will is be it.
No more discussion about that. Let's move on and talk about Windy City Riot. What did you think of Zayn J's performance?
Love it. Love it. Oh, boy. All right. So how's the audio? Are we good?
Yeah, you're back now.
Nice. All right. I think Joel's
I don't know why. It could be. I'm not drunk. I only had a pint and a half because obviously I was driving to the pub because nothing's within walking distance of me here. I don't know. I had Vampire Survivors running in the background. Maybe it was that.
You know what? Maybe.
Because it's so good. I bought it on Steam as well because I was getting annoyed at not being able to play it whenever I want on the PS4 because fucking family. You know, children want to watch their rubbish CBBS, whatever it is they're watching. And I'm like, I want to be playing Vampire Survivors. So now I own it twice. Hooray.
It's not a bad. What was it, like $3? It's not bad, right?
Yeah, I it was so good. Like I feel like I should give more money to the makers of it because it's that great. But yeah,
where you start?
Says the most pressing question in Super J Cast Land at the moment. Dramatic pause. Damon, are you excited about the new Pulp album?
Oh, yes, I am. Fuck yes, I am. That song, I'm telling you, Spike Island, new song. I love it. Fucking love it. I was in the car and. Sometimes Cheryl likes to go to like plant stores and I kind of have my fill of the plants. So she'll go in and I'll just kind of fucking sit in the car and fiddle my phone, whatever. Plus I don't want her to feel like I'm pressuring her because I'm bored. And I saw that tweet and I saw the fucking stuff and I was like, yes, let's pop it on. Awesome. So yes, extremely excited. If that single is any indication of what we can expect. I am all in. I loved it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Right. I guess we have to talk about the bad thing now. Troy says, are we on the it's so over part? So woke up this morning to hear the news that Tetsuya Naito is not going to be renewing his contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And his last date will be the Dontaku show. And I can't remember which one exactly. But Bushi also following him out the door. A lot to unpick here. Everyone blindsided by this. Let's just start. Where are you at emotionally with this, Damon?
Well, I don't think it's good. Now, I will say that the blow was lessened a little bit in the sense of we had talked about a few times, even on the Free For All podcast here, that, you know, contracts were a weird situation. We were in a weird time when it came to contracts. And we even specifically talked about Naito not having a contract. And I believe he voiced something about that as well. So it was a weird thing. But I will say that waking up to that news was a bit jarring at first. Look, I know people are going to kind of try to create and spin it in their head of, oh, maybe it's not that bad. You know, he was old and he's banged up and he doesn't have many miles left on his body and he's working on, you know, knees that are shot and hips that are shot and an eye socket that's always been a problem. And still, it was kind of, I don't want to say shocking, but it was a little bit of a gut punch, I think, to a lot of people who watch this product. A big name that probably, again, maybe on his downward years when it comes to in-ring, but still can draw, still was valuable. And to me, it just smells like a money situation. Now, it could be a money situation and how many dates am I going to work or what have you. Like, pro wrestling's weird in the sense that it's not like you have – it's not like hockey or baseball or probably even football where, you know, agents will leak information to kind of position themselves and bargaining, positioning. And you kind of get information. You don't get a lot of that when it comes to the pro wrestling. You get some stuff – like I heard it from it. When it comes to finances and what people are getting paid and stuff like that. That being said, it does smell like an issue where it's like, I think I'm worth this. The company says, I don't think you're worth that. And there was a bit of a chasm between those two numbers. It's the optics of it is not great. Let's be very truthful here. The optics is not great. And that's Bushi aside, to be honest. You're talking about a person who came up through the ranks, through the dojo, was a guy, is a guy. Like, Naito's a guy. And to just have him walk away does feel like a little bit of a gut punch. And
he's not a guy. He is arguably still their biggest star and the, probably the biggest star of their strongest period historically.
He's up there. Like, let's put it this way. If it's not Tanahashi or Okada, it's Naito, right? I don't think anybody moves past him in that pecking order. It's the optics are terrible. So I guess the next thing is like, so what does that mean? So look, I think everyone still to this day is a little bit gun shy when it comes to contracts and positioning and the backstage, you know, contract situations with everyone in New Japan. And I think all the laws and all the things you think would be normal went out the fucking window with Okada. I'm sorry. Like if they're going to let a guy like that walk, like
anything can happen. All bets are off.
Correct. And
so we'd heard the contract stuff. We've read about it in Tokyo Sports. Mm-hmm. All the evidence historically pointed towards Naito using Tokyo Sports to work and to have storyline stuff run. So there were some people telling us, actually, there might be more to this. There's quite a significant, like a majority of people in New Japan working without contracts. Naito's one of them. And then other people saying, yeah, he's out of contract, but that's pretty normal. They'll figure something out. They always do. So it wasn't something that we took that seriously. We just saw the Tokyo Sports stuff. Oh, it's working. And then wake up this morning. Oh, fuck. He's gone.
But here's the thing, though. Don't you think that's the problem? Because nobody took it seriously.
That's the struggle here to try and contextualize this. Is this something that we can weave into a bigger narrative on the current state of New Japan? Is this something about the management? Is this an issue with President Tanahashi? Some people are saying that, and I've read some stuff about people being dissatisfied with the amount of money being offered, but that's nothing new. I mean, wrestlers are always going to be, you're very rarely going to get wrestlers speaking publicly saying, oh yeah, I'm getting paid plenty. Right. And there's also the element to it where Chris Sams has been sharing some really interesting stats about just how frequently Naito was wrestling. So I'm wondering, again, there might be lots more information dropping, so by the time people are listening to this, this might be completely obsolete and I might sound like an idiot, but I'm wondering if he felt he was wrestling too frequently.
Maybe.
Too many matches, too many Road 2 shows, too many Mighty Man tags, and was not happy with his own level of performance and wanted to maybe take some time off or work fewer dates, and then the company... that's where the impasse came. Maybe they're saying, well, okay, if you're working fewer dates, then we can only pay you this much, or please don't work fewer dates because you're still a massive star and we need you.
Okay. And that's say that sentence again and now say, and here we are. Because guess what? If that's the case, I need you more, but I'm going to turn my back on you. Like, that seems preposterous. Like, to me, the idea that there wasn't any common middle ground that could be reached. And here's the thing too, I know that New Japan put out their tweet and their press release and all that stuff.
The black and white line mark logo goes up. I get a chill down my spine. What the fuck has happened this time?
It's never like sometimes it is okay news and like random news. But I remember you even saying, "Stop it with the black and white line mark," because you're fucking freaking us out. Yeah, and this time it was a boomer. And I don't mean a person in their 60s. Again, I find it unbelievable that there couldn't be some type of common ground or middle ground that could have been reached. But once again, I go back to Okada and say, everything's on the fucking table at this point. But to have a guy like that just in essence walk away. And that doesn't mean, and my point that I was trying to make was, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's over. Like, he's still working dates. And
that was going to be my next question. Do you think he comes back
to work those dates?
No, to work for New Japan in the future after
it could. Could. Like, it could be such. Here's the thing, and pro wrestling works this way, and I can't stress this enough. If enough people bitch and moan and complain and voice their displeasure with that, New Japan will suddenly find the money or remove the dates or whatever the fucking thing is. Like, if it comes across as, oh, the public perception is that we're the fucking idiots. Oh, okay, well, maybe, you know, whatever. So I'm not saying that it's completely dead by any stretch of the imagination, and I want to make that perfectly clear. Now, New Japan sending out that tweet does make it seem that, A, it's over, and B, if it's not over, boy, did they fucking, like, they went all in on, a 5 and a 8 offsuit. You know what I mean? Like if they're trying to like position this or like, imagine going to the bargaining table again after they do that. So
yeah, you think if he was just taking time off, they would say Naito's going to be taking some time off to get surgery. We wish him well and look forward to seeing him again soon. There was something felt quite definitive about the statement that was put out.
Correct. So again, that hurts the chances of it happening. But I can't say it won't happen. Just because, again, I think this company, I mean, as something as silly as, you know, when Chris Charlton was having his issues, like version one of his issues, and they were going to take him off commentating, and everybody was like, fuck no, that's ridiculous. And the feedback, and, you know, they flooded that inbox, that's for sure. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's the way to go, but that's the way to go. And
we're seeing signs of that. I mean, our friend Fraser Japan has got his finger on the pulse when it comes to Japanese fan reaction, and they are not happy about this. So you touched on it before. Like, we might be huffing the copium saying that, oh, you know, he's broken down. I don't want to see him wrestle anymore. He can't go at the top level. Maybe it's better he walks away. There are a lot of fans who are going to be devastated by this.
Yeah. Because they're not like fucking like imbeciles like we are, you know. They're not like they're not looking at every bit and piece of it.
If this is it, like I can compartmentalize that and say, yeah, he's probably done as a top wrestler, and maybe it's for the best. Blah blah blah. But this just feels wrong to not let him have the send-off that he so richly deserves. And not only that, just from a business aspect as well. I think of all the merch money that they're going to be losing out on now, which, you know, is not something, that's not my primary concern, but that is a factor here. And also, if if he was going to retire and he wants to hang his boots, you'd want to milk that on, yeah, not maybe at the Tanahashi level, but certainly not far behind it. Like, you'd be having a, you know, Naito goodbye run, da da da. And from what I hear, from what John Carroll and Andrew are saying, the tickets are flying off the shelves now. So John says the May 4th Dontaku Night 2 is his last night, and tickets start flying as soon as they announce that.
Yeah.
So yeah, people are wanting to see this. Obviously, these are turning into massive events now. But him not being able to go out on his own terms just feels really wrong for a guy who has contributed so much to this company.
Joel, that's the main point. That's the main point. It's a guy who, again, came up through their system, and you know, he's held every title there is to hold. He's, again, top three in arguably one of the biggest boom periods of New Japan's existence. And to have him just, you know, unless Naito's demands were so preposterous and outrageous, I gotta lean on the company and say, well, why, how are you benefiting from this? How is this a positive for New Japan? Like, you're not. I don't know. It feels like a contract negotiation between a free agent and a team, and the free agent just finally having enough and saying, you know what, you don't value me, and I'll test the market. And trust me, you don't think Tony Khan's salivating right now? You don't think?
Really? You think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Tony Khan, Naito is his wet dream. Seriously. He's salivating. And here's the thing, too. It's not like okay, so where else is Naito going to go and make Naito money? DDT? All Japan? Like, it's the only place he's going to make money. Like, where else is he going to go? So that kind of sort of does devalue the value there. Because negotiating-wise, he doesn't have a fucking leg to stand on. Pardon the pun. You don't have a leg to stand on. So if Tony Khan comes to the table and says, hey, you know what, work, I don't know, 7 big shows a year, whatever the case may be, maybe a TV taping or two, he would fucking do it in a heartbeat. So, yeah.
That was going to be my next question. Like, where do you think, what's the next step for him and Bushi? Like, do you think they're going to be doing some independent stuff, like the startup, like, I don't know, Ingobernable produce shows or something? Because already they've cancelled the show at the Tokyo Budokan, which was basically the Naito Bushi show anyway, because that's
right,
where their most loyal fan base is. I think that's their hometown or something. So now New Japan have thought, well, there's absolutely no point running that show at all if there's no Naito and no Bushi.
Oh, if they ran that show, Joel, that they would be booed out of the fucking building.
Hmm.
If they ran that show without Naito and Bushi, oh, ho, ho. Ho, ho, Tony Soprano. Yeah, no, it would be fucked. It would be sabotaged by some unruly fans. I guarantee that there'd be some unhappy people. So they had to fucking cancel it. Joel, help me. I can't think of another place he could go besides AEW.
John says Tokyo Sports just dropped an article pretty much since we guys started talking. Okay, John, let us know what it's about. Give us the cliff notes. I don't know. Like, Noah, is that something that you think he would do?
Okay. Now that's an interesting promotion. I mean,
because they've got the money, presumably, to probably offer him a more equitable deal than Bushiroad.
You know, Noah's not a bad option. That was not a bad option. He can work a style there that might be a little bit more hard hitting, but less stressful on, you know, joints and limbs. He's probably going to get a Kenta type deal, right? If he did, that's interesting. That is interesting. That would probably be about the only Japanese promotion I could say.
So John says, no real huge news from the Naito Bushi interview, except Naito said he wants to make the most of his time he has left, and he wants to bring Naito to more local fans in areas New Japan doesn't reach. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, John adds, like, doesn't sound like he's retiring.
Like Kansas City, Missouri. Oh,
Rev should have put the KOPW title on him. He could have done the rural revitalization gimmick.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's just another step in that. Oh, New Japan can't hold on to talent. Even though, you know, if you dig deep, there's probably logical reasons for both sides of the argument. But at the end of the day, I cannot side with the company on this one. It just doesn't make much sense to me. Again, unless
I think dropping to Callum Newman would send anyone off the edge
and getting a world title shot. Yeah, it's weird. So you figure. All those guys that were once atop, and again, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but it was a bit ago. The good news is that there's an opening at the top. There's an opening at the top. I don't think anybody's ready for it right now, but who knows? I think an argument could have been made about Naito at the time of Los Ingobernables, you know, that maybe he wasn't ready for it. So you never know. This actually might be a good thing. It's kind of hard to sit here and predict and say, but maybe we look back in 3 years and be like, well, if it wasn't for that, this wouldn't have happened. But you know, I think that's a little bit clutching at straws, don't you think? like the here and now, it's hard to predict what 3 years is going to look like. The here and now, it doesn't look good. That's for sure.
I think if you're like sort of a purely work rate fan, and you've been watching these Naito performances over the last 6 months and seeing him struggle to perform his own signature moves, then you might think, you know what, this is a good thing. And I hear that, but I have that emotional connection to Naito and followed his storyline through all the troughs and the peaks where I'm sad. This is sad. I think he deserved better. He deserved a more auspicious way of going. And look, he's not retiring, so I will still follow him as a fan. I'm a fan of Tetsuya Naito. I can appreciate, and I hope he goes on to do something fulfilling and satisfying. Whether he can reconcile that with New Japan, I don't know. But I mean, let's say that there is a Naito retirement show. What do you think would be an appropriate stage for that? Like, do you think he can go full independent for that, and like, I don't know, run the Tokyo Dome by himself or something, for
pull a Muda,
do his own retirement show,
pull a Muda. To work the dome, he would have to have some type of connection with Noah at that point, I would think, right? I can't say 100% for sure, but that's a hell of a fucking gamble. To book out a big building like that for his retirement show, just on his own dime. I don't know. That'd be tough sledding, that's for sure. No, it was probably the best destination. And then I would say AEW. And if he works, correct me if can. Is there any type of allegiance there when it comes to Noah? And I know they had some WWE involvement, you know, and when I say involvement, I put that in air quotes. I don't know. Noah seems like the destination, though. AEW would be probably second, because Tony would let him do whatever the fuck he wanted to do, how many dates he wanted to do, and write the check. Like that seems like the easiest solution. Noah might be a little bit more physically demanding, but even then, you know, I think Noah would. Like, Noah right now is searching their fucking couch cushions for loose change to save up every fucking penny they have to put his name on a contract. They'd be stupid not to.
Seems weird to think that the remaining members of LIJ, like that's the three original members gone.
Oh, they're done.
Naito, Bushi, Evil having left the faction, not the promotion, and Sanada gone as well. So now
Los Ingobernables is done.
Hiromu, Shingo, Titan, and Tsuji. Is that enough to
no.
keep it going?
No. Because here's the thing.
Well, the merchandise, David, you can't.
It's going to be a new faction. It's going to be called something different. Like that is going to be done. Because here's the thing. All that does is just spur people's images of Naito. And if they're walking away from him, they most certainly can walk away from the idea of Los Ingobernables. Like, and I think that they would. I think they would have to almost. I don't think it makes any sense to have it go on. It'd be like, who the fuck are they? Pink Floyd? You're not a fucking original member in a goddamn band. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I think that Los Ingobernables goes bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd do that. I mean, I'm assuming they own the intellectual property of it.
Do they? I don't know.
That's a good question. Maybe we should, if anyone knows, anyone listening knows. I've got to put out a few feelers. I don't know. I'm sure we could
find we can figure it out.
Put us in the right direction. Any words on Bushi?
I mean, he is
respect the loyalty of the guy to walk out and walk away from Best of Super Juniors payday, whatever that is worth to Bushi these days.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty serious.
Here's the thing. He's been there a long time. And as much as we bust on the guy, he's been there for that entire ride. He's been in that mix. He was their junior heavyweight, you know, before Hiromu. And, you know, it is loyalty. I gotta tip my cap to the guy. I know that there's fans of everybody, but I don't think anybody's losing sleep over Bushi. But it's just another little thing where, and again, it's not like he's on every single show, and you know, we get it. Still, it is one of those things where, I don't know, just not a good look, man. Just not a good look.
Just, it feels bad.
It does.
This whole thing feels bad.
Yeah. I'll be truthful. I feel worse about this one than Okada, because I feel like Okada's was more of a, oh, I see Will Ospreay making some money and getting offers and having an agent that's working miracles for him. And, oh, maybe I'd like a piece of that pie, you know? And then.
And also a little bit of that, oh, you don't want to work with the next generation. You don't want to pay it forward like Tanahashi paid it forward for you. Well, fuck you, on your way.
Right.
And let's, you know, this will be the kick up the ass that we need. But
this one's a little bit more.
I don't like it.
Neither do I. This one's a little bit more of a bitter pill to swallow, I think, because you would hope that there would be some type of loyalty. And again, I don't know the conversations, but that gap being so wide that something couldn't have been worked out, it does feel like the company turned their back on them. That's my opinion.
Red Bear Hugh says, who should replace Bushi in Best of Super Juniors? I think throw Daiki Nagai in there for the experience. Jacob Austin Young, it is your time to shine.
Might be. I mean, it might be. Listen, it's going to be a person who's okay losing more than they win. Let's put it that way. And that name is more than adequate, more than fine. Best of Super Juniors is not going to miss a beat. Let's put it that way.
Got some quite funny questions here that came sort of after the fact, which is just quite amusing to look back on with everything that's happened here.
Fire away.
Andrew, so it is right before the Bushi stuff, the Naito Bushi stuff dropped, saying, is Callum Newman versus Naito the Dominion main event?
Well,
is it possible that Callum Newman wished on a monkey's paw to main event a sold out show for the world title? So yeah, it all comes down to Callum Newman. He's radioactive. Everything that he's touched has turned to shit. The partnership with Jeff Cobb, which I suppose we'll move on to now.
Okay.
And yeah, now he's got that main event at Dontaku, but at what cost? I mean, a lot of people were speculating that Naito Goto was going to be the main event for Dominion, so now who the hell knows where we're going with that?
I don't think they know. No. You know what I mean? I don't think they know. All this does kind of, like, when we were sitting there scratching our heads of why would they drop the tag titles in well, kind of makes sense now, don't it? Like that's
yeah, they completely put themselves in the corner. Like, fuck, do we put it on this team where one guy's leaving, or this team right. where one guy's leaving?
Right, right, right. I mean,
where's Chase Owens and Bad Luck Farley
when you need them? Come on, we were just kidding, guys. Come on. Yeah, it is. Looking back on that situation, it does kind of seem like, oh, okay, that's why that happened.
Yeah, I suppose we should move on to Jeff Cobb. Who? Mm-hmm. Oh, the internet marks. We've certainly got egg on our faces, haven't we? We thought that Jeff Cobb was leaving, but actually, he has left. Oh, we were right.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about, man. Like, what was the point of all that? Like, what was the
I could see some sort of the, I could see the vision, like maybe he thought it would drum up a bit of interest in his remaining few matches, and he was talking a lot about challenging who's the champion, Goto, at Dontaku, and my understanding is that was going to be the original plan. Like all the interview and backstage stuff pointed in that direction, like it was going to be Goto defending against Cobb, and that possibly being Cobb's final match with New Japan. And I think that might have been an interesting story if they'd played it like, oh, Jeff Cobb is leaving New Japan and he might be taking the IWGP title with him and running it from that angle. So I could see where the ideas were coming from. But he just, like I said before, Jeff Cobb ends up looking very, very silly by saying, oh, I thought I was leaving. What happened, guys? And now he's left. So he just looks
what happened,
like a
Jeff?
Bit of a tit. Well, WWE asked you to start working sooner than you thought. That's what the rumors and the whispers are suggesting.
Is that what the internet is saying?
That's what the internet's saying. But the internet's always wrong, apparently, except when it's right. But
or we say it.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Cobb was one. I think most of us fans have sort of come to terms and be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. He's given what? How many years? Six good years to New Japan, and yeah, time to move on. And if he can get that bag from WWE, fair enough. You know, he's given us some great years, great memories, really good matches. That kind of sort of refreshing of the roster turnover is good, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. It would have been nice to, and again, I think he is also someone who deserves a nice spot to go out on. And it seems, I think his last match is going to be it'll be the singles match with Tanahashi, if I'm not mistaken, which is like the third match on the card. So again, I've seen some clamour from some voices in the Japanese fan base thinking that that should be a main event now. That should be elevated, because you might not think it, but Jeff Cobb does have some hardcore fans in Japan. And again, however it's gone down, I know like the conventional thing is to be like, oh, you're going to WWE. Well, fuck you then. We never liked you anyway. But he is another person that I think deserves a chance to say goodbye to the fans properly for giving many years of loyal service to New Japan.
Why wouldn't they give that to Naito?
I agree. Stop whispering at me. I agree.
I'm sorry. I just I want to keep it down. I don't want anybody to get upset by that comment.
I think they both should. I've been consistent in this. Both people deserve a chance to say goodbye to the fans and have a big emotional promo and go out the way they want to go out. And I bet it would not be Okada like Okada did, pinning Callum Newman in a 10-man tag match and going, yay! And just making an absolute mockery of the situation and refuse to put anyone over on the way out. I think if they had been able to... Well, I think this was Jeff Cobb's plan. I said what I think his plan was, to go out against Goto and narrowly lose and then say goodbye to the fans. And I think that would have been absolutely fitting and that would have been nice. And yeah, hopefully he gets to do that with his match against Tanahashi. And I hope, even though it's in the middle of the card, that they let him have the microphone and say his goodbyes.
Yep, yep. And you know, all kidding aside, I will say that he was a valuable, valuable piece of the New Japan puzzle. A guy that you could count on, especially if he had certain opponents that could, you know, as we'd like to say, bump around for him and you know, make him look like a strong, monstery kind of happy-go-lucky monster, if you will. Like he definitely served a purpose and a role And I think his time in New Japan was very good. Very good. But yeah, like you said, I think it's time to move on and we're good. You know, all, the past couple months of silliness aside, I think he's been, he had been an extremely valuable piece of the New Japan puzzle.
Fred says, the most obvious question, why not drop the tag belt? Why do you deserve the Tanahashi farewell match if you aren't doing business? Well, I think that's right. Been answered now in light of today's news about Tetsuya Naito, that they've just inadvertently, maybe this is a problem of their own making, put themselves into a bit of a shit situation with the tag titles.
Yeah. And again, luckily it was the tag titles, right? But yeah, it was weird to say that.
As I said, like, who gives a shit? It's the tag titles at the end of the day. They don't care, so I don't care. So I'm not like, oh, how could they desecrate the sacred lineage of the IWGP heavyweight tag titles by doing this? I mean, Chase Owens.
They did that. Chase Owens, me. I was a tag
team. You were a champion.
I have the pictures to prove it. Who cares? All right, very good. Where do you want to go?
Aaron, I've got a question here. Aaron says, does Gedo give people titles to get more money from WWE? I feel it happens so frequently with guys going to WWE specifically. Cobb was heavily rumored, then got the tags, then left abruptly. Tama, Hikuleo, and Anderson come to mind too. This might be dumb. I guess what I'm asking is losing people while they're champ by design, or does it just not seem to matter? But yeah, there is a bit of a trend here with people holding titles and then leaving. I mean, you fair play to Carl Anderson for actually doing business and dropping the title on the way out rather than just vacating. And there's part of me that thinks if Jeff Cobb had really wanted to do those dates and drop the titles, he could have done. He could have if he really wanted to.
Sure. But isn't it amazing?
It does seem to be happening quite a lot.
Doesn't it feel like, and again, I'm not here to toot our horns, but doesn't it feel like if we know these situations,
how does the office get blindsided by this?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how the fuck does that happen? Like, do you need to hire us a special consultant? do you need that? Because it feels like you do. Because how do we know months in advance of what things are kind of snowballing? And then it's, oh, well, wait a minute.
I thought he was going to stay. Right. He promised he was going to sign a new contract.
He told us he was staying. It does feel like it's like the fucking Keystone Cops running things. All right. Like, how do we know? How do we know? God damn it. All right. Well, Jeff, it was Kesarasara. That's not what I want to say. It was nice knowing you. Have fun. Have fun in the Fed. Have fun in New York. You're dead to us.
Hard cameras. Hard cameras over there, pal.
Right.
Right. What should we do now? Do you want to do Windy City Riot or talk? Yeah, let's do Windy City Riot and then do Rush Through the Dun Tap.
I thought you wanted to do dun 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 dun. I wanted to give you some goosebumps on your arm. No?
Okay, go on. So The Rock tweeted at, in social media, him wearing a line mark shirt with Rubik's Cube. What do you think that is?
Do you want to know? Well, I hear.
Is this where, like, the Naito money is? Sorry, Tetsuya. We've had lots of years of law service from you. We cannot pay you money anymore.
Yeah.
Why is that? We're saving up for something. What are you saving up for?
Well, can't quite say. But here's what I did here. And just play along.
Do you smell that? If you smell, it's not the Caesarea. It's not the family restaurant cooking.
No, it's not the yakitori. Can I ask you a question? And just play along with this bit, please, if you could. I heard Molly was she took up the bass guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. She played a little bit of a song. It kind of goes bum 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 bum. She's really good. And I heard her first performance is going to be January 4th. No? That's what she told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's playing.
That's true.
I don't know if there's a building big enough to hear that bass line on a big show. I don't know. It could be, I don't know. Here's the thing. She's gotten so good that you would think, gosh almighty. I mean, there's probably like she's probably headlining it, right? Probably headlining the Dome, I would think. Because, I mean, just that baseline, she's got it down. She really does. How's that? How's that for dancing around? Connect the dots, you fucking idiots.
She is also extremely bald.
Yes. Yes. Look, you know what she needs with that bass guitar? Probably needs an air guitar. Right? No? Do you think at the Tokyo Dome, Molly playing she's like fucking John Taylor and John Entwistle combined with the bass. She probably needs some air guitar just to put it over.
She's got an ace up her sleeve.
Yeah.
If she's not caught between a rock and a hard place.
Wow. We're really good. We got this down pat.
Playing some rock music on the air guitar.
Yes. Yeah. That would be something, wouldn't it? Huh. I tell you. We'll see. You know, she's got a lot of warm up dates. From what I understand,
she's not cheap as well.
Oh, that's true. That's true. If she's with you, you know, she's there. You know, asking for big money. Well, it's the Dome, so you know. If anything's going to sell out the fucking Tokyo Dome, it's that fucking bass line and an air guitar. I got to be honest. That's nothing better. Nothing better. I think we made our point, right? I think we did all right with that, right?
Yeah, okay. That's the Music Damon segment.
Music Damon
of the show.
There you go.
Music
all right,
where we talk about music.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to kind of get spread around to everyone. That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be fun. You're gonna have fun fielding those Twitter dorks.
Oh, man, if it does happen, there's some people are gonna be so cross.
Oh, you think?
Can't wait.
Yeah. We'll see. You know, what do I know? Listen, people.
You seen that Forbidden Door poster?
I can't find
any New Japan guys with a search party on there. I had to get the fucking magnifying glass out.
They were like hidden in there. They were like weaved into the tapestry of the background. It was really.
It's there. That next to that pixel over there is definitely Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something, wasn't it? Well, look, to sit here look, those Forbidden Door shores? Those Forbidden Door shows? Come on. We're not hand-waving those yet.
But it's annoying because I have to go to it because it's in the UK and I feel obliged to. But
are they doing Wembley?
No, O2 Centre in North Greenwich.
Yep, okay. That's not that big of a building, is it?
I'm not sure what the capacity is. I think it's like 20K or something.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, you're talking about the big boy O2.
Yeah, what used to be the Millennium Dome.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's a big building. Okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. I didn't go to Chicago because I knew Chicago was going to be what Chicago was. I'm like, I ain't fucking.
What a great segue. Windy City Riots from the Wintrust Arena. Should we go chronological or reverse chronological?
No, reverse chronological. Because truth be told, I probably watched. What did I watch? I watched Tana. I watched. What else did I watch?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll go reverse chronological, and you can tell me if you've watched it. You can jump with me. So, double main event 2, 30-minute time limit. Hiroshi Tanahashi, final road kinship. Konosuke Takeshita beat Hiroshi Tanahashi, 20 minutes, 37 seconds, Raging Fire. This was great. Mm-hmm. Love this. It was sort of on vibes and storyline as much as the in-ring work. I think the in-ring work was very good, and it wasn't like a close competitive match. It was basically Takeshita beating the shit out of Tanahashi as sort of punishment, revenge for Tanahashi big leaguing him all those years ago, and all little tidbits and tributes to that. He did the Hiroshima finishing move before he did the Raging Fire, a little nod to the DDT heritage. You know, back in the day when Tanahashi insulted him and said he had no right to face him, and DDT was shit, and everyone who works for them are fucking losers. I think those were his exact words.
I think so.
And yeah, he battered Tanahashi. It wasn't really close, and he did a little bit of the sort of NXT coded, oh, why am I so violent? He pulled a little face at the end there, but that was fine. I mean, it was, you know, a little bit of regret, like, oh, what? Oh, look at this old man.
Look at what they made me do.
I don't know what. Yeah, look what you made me do. This is your fault. You made me do this to you. And yeah, good match. And then Tanahashi struggling to get to his feet and got to say his goodbyes to the Yankoid imbeciles. And just, yeah, good match and good vibes.
Yeah. I mean, look.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
I don't think anybody was expecting like bell to bell classic, his last match, and he's going to go out in this blaze of glory. I think everyone kind of expected this is a New Japan retirement tour kind of match, competitive to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, you know, it's an older guy who's, you know, on his last legs against a guy who arguably is the best guy in the fucking company. So I think if you were going there thinking, well, Tanahashi's, you know, got to get the win because it's his last match. And then no, it's just the opposite. That said, I think he did better than I think a lot of people expected. It did add a little bit more fuel to the, can he fucking sustain this? Like, do I want to see Tanahashi in a last G1 run? I don't know. I hope not. I really hope not. But it was good. And I think here's another thing too. I think the crowd was, you know, I love the fucking point fingers at the U.S. New Japan show crowd, but I didn't hate the crowd here. I think they were fine. I thought they actually helped the match a little bit. But yeah, it's, I find it hard to believe that that's his last match, though. Truth be told, like Tanahashi feels like a guy that you might see him in the ring 2 or 3 years down the road. You know, it's some kind of like he feels like he's that kind of guy. I could be dead wrong, but yeah, it was more than fine. Let's put it that way.
All right, the match that preceded that was the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Hiroki Goto defeating Shota Umino, 20 minutes, GTR Kai. Damon, we're taking the cake out of the oven again. You're taking a big bite of the cake. Is the cake ready yet? Is it
cooked?
Is it delicious?
Nope.
Oh, no, it's yucky. It's still all sort of doughy, uncooked, gooey bits in the middle. Not in a good way. It's like, it's all like raw egg. It's all grit. Blech. This cake is not, it's still not ready.
Still not ready. No, I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that. And that is by no means me saying that the match was horrible or terrible or it just, I'm trying my damnedest.
Sorry, Will says, at what point do we have to admit that Shota is a psyop that has been specifically created to make us go insane?
I'm trying desperately to not go into matches with him on a, can we just end this kind of mindset? It's becoming more and more difficult, to be truthful.
There's no connection with the fans. They don't want to see Shota as a babyface in peril fighting from underneath. Like, there's one way that we've seen to make him work and that to make this match work, and that is them smacking 7 shades of shit out of each other. Fans want to cheer for cool guys. The only time Shota has looked remotely cool is when he was beating the piss out of Finlay and Cobb.
And that was for 5 minutes total.
Yes.
Between the two matches.
And the US fans didn't sound that keen on him. They loved him last year when he's working with Jack Perry. And he, in spite of him, his babyface coded behavior in this match, you know, him locked in a chin lock, trying to stay conscious, reaching for the ropes. That ain't it. The fans do not care. They're not buying it. And like you said, the match was solid. There's just absolutely no emotional investment in him. Like, whatever they tapped into in the New Japan Cup final feels like it's been lost at this point. So I just like, what are we doing here? What is the long-term goal in having him as this specialist in failure, to coin a Jose Mourinho phrase, who's lost two world title matches and a cup final by April? Like, what did Shota gain specifically from this particular match with Goto? What are we doing? What are you doing with this cake?
I don't know. They don't know. It feels like I wish I had an answer. It is baffling to me. And again, in that short stretch of all this heartbreak and all this turmoil in this man's head, of he's gotten more opportunities than anyone I can remember in recent modern times. And please don't ask, well, what do we do with Shota? I have no fucking idea. I have no idea what you do at this point. And the funny part about it was, just as I said, it didn't feel like there was anything that continued on, right? Like, there was nothing that was like, oh, there's the hot angle. Oh, there's nothing, right? Nothing.
Yeah, like, is this going to be the launching point for the big heel turn and start his new fashion? Oh, no, it's nothing. Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Thanks for coming. Drive safely. Right? I don't know. Joe, look. I think the majority of the people that listen to this nonsense are in agreement. He's not it. And the company really feels like they don't have an idea of what to do with the guy. And to sit here and tell you that I have any fucking fathomable idea of where we're going with this dude to this point, I have no idea. Like, it would just be pure speculation and conjecture and
based on looking to win the G1, Damon. That's what I'm scared about. Tell me they're not going to do it.
They can't.
Give me percentage chance.
They can't. A percent that he wins G1?
They fucking will. I bet they will do it.
All right, listen. How about this? G1, what is it? Like, when does it usually end? August? First week of August? Do we know the last date? We do. We should, right? We should know the last date. What's the last date, Joel?
The last date of the Grade 1 Climax
this
year is... I'm going to have to go to page 2.
All right.
Page,
because I'm going to make this interesting. This work is going to pay off for you. Trust me.
Sunday, August the 17th.
Okay, so I'll be long gone by then. My thing was going to be, if Shota won G1, I will take you and the missus out for a wonderful 5-star dinner in central London on me, if you won. But I will be long gone at that point. I was going to buy you dinner anyway, by the way. what can we bet? If he wins...
Something in Tokyo.
We'll figure it out over pipes. I'll make it so that by the middle of the G1, you are rooting for Shota. All right? How about that? We'll make it worth your while. But there's no fucking way. I would say there is a 10% chance he's winning fucking G1. 10%.
But you know that's going to come up in the conversation with the booking committee.
Oh, yes.
Well, this hasn't worked. What about if we book him to win the G1 climax? Maybe the fans will accept him then.
Oh, you think Daddy's saying that? Is that what you're saying? You think Daddy's putting in a good word?
I think Daddy is going to throw it out there.
I think it's already been thrown out. I think it's already in the universe, if you will. I don't think he will, though. I pray to God that they don't. There are so many other people I would fucking throw in as the G1 winner over him. I'm gonna have some faith and say there is a 10% chance he wins G1.
All right, well, we'll stick a pin in that and isolate this audio for
looping it. Climax. Oh, it's going to be a hell of a summer, isn't it?
Johnny Cash at the ready. hey, and look, we've got lots of other stuff to look forward to. Young Bucks, a little vignette teasing Anderson and Gallows.
Woo!
Probably facing the War Dogs at Resurgence. So, look forward to that. We got some spots opened up in the G1 Climax this year. So,
little Dark Gallows, huh? Is that what you want? Yeah. Okay. Boy, I would do anything in my power to not have either of those anywhere near G1. No, I think I personally, I have no idea. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, these are U.S. shows, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Resurgence is a young coin imbecile show.
Yeah. I'm hoping and praying that we don't see them. Because here's the thing, again, we know all the reasons. We know who's responsible for this.
Do it on these rubbish strong shows in the mid card where don't let them anywhere near an airport or a plane.
Whoever's
responsible for not letting Kenny Omega into Japan, get them on the line.
Yes.
Is it Harold May?
Where's Harold when you need him? Where is Harold when you need him?
I want these two bald frauds blackballed from the country of Japan.
Yes. I'm with you. I'm with you. And again, we know it's RR pulling strings here. So we know it's just a matter of time, right? And again, if they want to be mid-card Resurgence, I got no fucking – who cares? Who cares?
Go and wrestle the world-class Wrecking Crew.
That's the match.
Fill your boots. Have a trilogy with them. That's fine.
Shave your head and eat the hair.
Each other's pubes.
Pubes.
You can have that one for free. Yeah. So we had a special singles match. Zack Sabre Jr. defeating David Finlay. 15 minutes, 20 seconds. Zack Driver, You've Been Tangoed edition.
Weird.
Not quite as good as the New Japan Cup match, but still a very good match. I think the Yankoid Imbecile fans maybe sort of didn't appreciate it. They're too thick to appreciate good wrestling. Maybe a bit sort of burned out from the Ishii Gabe match at that point, but this is good. I mean, is this a launching point for Zack to start his comeback? Maybe they're going to go back to him with the Dominion main event. I don't know. A little bit concerned about the booking of Finlay because I think he should be front and center because he's great, but other opinions are available there.
I was kind of surprised by that too. Truth be told, but here's
Zach cold, right? He's cold right now, and I think Finlay should be kept hot.
I agree.
Hot dog feud, that's what all the people are calling it. Gig says, should the Bullet Club Civil War be referred to as the hot dog war? So, yes, we need to keep Finlay hot for the hot dog war.
I love it. I love it. Oh, hot dog. I'm going to tell you the truth how I feel. I hope you don't mind. I don't count these US shows. They could do anything they want.
They're non-canon.
They're non-canon. I know they want to be, and I know that they sometimes try to be. But
they tried here, right? They
put
quite a lot of Japanese wrestlers often wrestling against each other. This was more New Japan-ish than a lot of these other strong shows have been.
Okay. I pretend they don't happen. How about that? And whatever happens on these shows
stays on these shows.
Correct. So that's my personal opinion on that. But, your results may vary. But, I don't care who wins or loses on these shows. Because to me, it means fucking absolutely nothing. In the entire scope of the year. And again, this is a company that does love to just kind of sometimes forget things have even happened. I'm gonna chalk up these US shows as that. So fine, no worries. David Finlay loses. Does seem on the surface coldness has set in. We're fine. People won't even remember this show come year end awards.
Yes. Will you remember Titan and Tetsuya Naito defeating El Fantasmo and Rocky Romero in a tag match on this show? That's definitely happened, despite what you and other people may think. It was a match. They did do a wrestles,
uh-huh.
And it went 11 minutes and 4 seconds. Titan pinned Rocky. And look, that might end up being Naito's last ever New Japan match in the States. Looks like it will be at this point. And I think Rocky Romero knew that even back then.
You know, he
booked it.
You know?
It looks like we're kind of pivoting to a Rocky and Phantasmo feud, and there's some matches coming up with a mystery partner for Takeshita, and I've got a bad feeling the cool option would be Kyle Fletcher, but I've got a feeling it might be Rocky. I don't know why I think that. But T-Tan, we've got to see T-Tan. Why is he not in Best of the Super Juniors? I don't know. Maybe he still will be. We've still got an unnamed CMLL participant in Best of the Super Juniors. Don't know why they wouldn't just say if it was T-Tan. But
they're still having negotiating right now with the New Japan.
This feels like it's going to be pub quiz trivia, like who was Naito's last New Japan match in America. Maybe, I'm putting it together now, maybe it was after this match, Rocky got the AEW contract ready for Naito.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like doesn't it seem weird how Rocky just happened to fall into that scenario? Doesn't it seem weird? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying, wow, stranger things.
Rewatch this match and zoom in the little moments where Rocky is getting Naito doing an Irish whip and whispering in his ear, don't sign a contract when you come and join AEW.
I have a blank check. It's in my bag. Tony said, do whatever it takes. Hip block, arm drag, watch for the clothesline. Blank check's in my bag. All right. Did seem weird. What else was on the show? I did see all that.
We had a strong open weight championship Ironman match where Tomohiro Ishii defeated Gabe Kidd, 34 minutes, 5 seconds, vertical drop, brain buster. Ishii wins 2-1 in sudden death overtime. I hope this is Gabe losing upwards. Like, it feels like the sort of match that would have been appropriate for Gabe a year ago, but I didn't really like the level of pantomime villainy. It felt incongruous to his recent character development because he was pretending to be a dog doing a wee on Tomohiro Ishii, which was just a bit, see, like, not that he should be a pure babyface at this point, but the heel work felt a bit cheap and excessive. Felt like cheap heat. And I don't think he should be losing to the old guy who couldn't get through the G1 qualifiers. But like you said, it's a strong show, so it doesn't count. And the Yankoid imbeciles love Ishii, so fine, make him strong champion. I don't really care. But I'm a little bit concerned at the lack of capitalizing on Gabe Kidd. After how we were buzzing after that match with Tsuji.
Yeah.
And it feels like they've not really used that, especially all the stuff that's going on. Like, this is the time where you should be getting behind someone like Gabe Kidd. Now, that said, like, maybe that will come. This was a good match. It was sort of 25 minutes of
chopping
usual strong style tropes. Yeah. I thought it got more interesting after that. And look, they worked really hard. The crowd seemed to love it, so I'm not going to moan about it too much. It was what it needed to be for this spot.
Yeah, but it was very predictable in that you knew we were going to that sudden death bullshit. Like, so you said it last week. Like, they wouldn't have that step if they weren't going to go the distance. And yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think we actively ruined it for some people by stating that there was that sudden death stipulation.
Yeah, I mean, come on, people. That said, yeah, I mean, look, hard hitting, of course. It did feel a little bit like they were playing the role of New Japan Pro Wrestling, hard hitting style kind of thing. Like, all right. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you when it comes to Gabe, though. Like, I like to see a little bit more momentum going in. I don't know. Not to say that he's, like, there's anything wrong right now, but, like, you're kind of looking ahead and, like, okay. I'll tell you what's pretty interesting, though. And again, I'm sure you're well aware and you'll be on the edge of your reclining chair. WrestleMania weekend, Joel. And Gabe Kidd's got a little blood sport action going on with, if I'm not mistaken, Josh Barnett. I think that'd be fun. That might be the most interesting thing this whole fucking weekend, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, let's say I'd like to see him heat it up a little bit more. I'd like to see something continue that momentum. Not to say that we're cold as ice, but, you know, a little bit. I think that can be expected. We'll see. But, yeah, fine match. Fine, hard-hitting pro wrestling match.
We had a NJPW Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships. Jarrell Nelson, Royce Isaacs defeating Kevin Knight and Kushida. 11 minutes, 5 seconds. Hush money. TJP sitting ringside eating crisps. He wants to challenge West Coast Wrecking Crew. It's him and I think it's Templario. They're going to challenge for those. Solid match. I think they should have belted up Intergalactic Jet Setters and put a title on Kevin Knight to capitalize on the buzz that he's got. He says he's not going to be a junior for long. He says this will be his last Best of the Super Juniors because he wants to be a heavyweight. But this was absolutely fine.
Yep. 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 A heavyweight. Everybody wants to be heavyweights, Joe. Everybody wants to be a heavyweight. Good for them. All right. Fine. Let them be a heavyweight. Doesn't that suck, though? Like, I don't know. The idea that everybody, like, where juniors are is not the end goal for a lot of them. I don't know. I guess that's, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to make more money as a heavy. You're going to be in bigger spotlight matches. Even on the bigger shows, the juniors matches usually are, you know, third, fourth from the top. Yeah.
I blame Rocky Romero, personally.
Oh, is that right? I blame him for everything.
No particular reason. I just wanted to do when in doubt, blame Rocky.
All right.
So we had a strong number one contenders match, Mina Shirakawa against Azumi, which 11 minutes, 43 seconds, double count out. I was enjoying it a lot until the finish. I feel like I've been unfairly dismissive of Mina Shirakawa. Either that or she's improving a lot, but she was good here. We know Azumi's an excellent wrestler. It's a shame they felt the need to do the double count out, and that was telegraphed as soon as they started pissing about on the outside. And they're going to do a three-way match, I think, at Resurgence, but that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah. Why? Can I? I mean, I'm saying this with all respect in my voice. Please don't take this the wrong way, but take it any way you want. I don't give a shit. Do we need a women's title?
I think it's good to have women's matches. I know you hate women.
Oh,
even you thinking about women wrestling on a New Japan show makes you vomit with rage.
Right.
But I think women should be treated equally and fairly and get the same opportunities as men. And I know you hate that idea, Dave, and you're probably right. going to just stop the podcast.
Well, actually, what I really want,
radical feminism.
What I really want, Joel, is for them to work main events but get paid less than the guys. That's what I want. That's what I really would love to see. Finally, a pro wrestling company stand up and take that stance. That's what I think. No, that's silliness, of course. No, I'm saying it's a title that, like, we have an IWGP Women's Heavyweight Champion, correct?
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
Right.
That sounds right. It sounds plausible.
Sounds I've heard that before.
I'll tell you what we need. We need strong women's tag team championships.
Yes.
IWGP women's tag team championships.
Now you're talking. And I think Bad Luck Folly and Chase Owens should challenge to make an even playing field for all gen. Look. Again, it's more of is this a thing that people, I don't want to say care about, but do people care about it? I don't know.
I'm just trying to unpick the logic here. Like I think they want Mina Shirakawa in that match at Resurgence because they think she has some Western appeal for the Yankoid imbecile perverts who like that, that stuff. They lost the confidence to run with the superior match, which would have been Mercedes against Azumi. That would have been very, very good, but they bottled it because they want Mina in that match. And they also, Tony doesn't want her getting pinned, so then Azumi's going to be there as the pin eater. just do the fucking singles.
That's what
match.
I'm saying. Come
on.
Thank you.
Come on, people.
Thank you. That's you know what? All kidding aside, that's all I'm saying. Just do the fucking match that people want. You know?
Not that people want. Do the match that I want.
Oh.
Me specifically.
Gotcha. My bad. It is about us at the end of the day. Very good. All right. Again, we're kidding people.
We are the main characters of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yes. And that should be, no one should forget that. You need to be regularly reminded. First match here was TJP beating Tom Lawler. Jesus Christ. 12 minutes, 13 seconds with a Mamba Splash. Like, God bless Tom Lawler, who is, dare I say, more credible as a heavyweight than his opponent here. And if I were in charge, it would be Tom to be flown over to Japan, and you know, maybe he could be the new leader of United Empire. God knows they need some clear leadership now. But setting aside my own preference in where TJP is best utilized in the company, this was a good match. They had good chemistry. Mm-hmm. I would like to have more Tom Lawler in New Japan. I did get quite alarmed here because TJP was talking about challenging Goto for the heavyweight title at Resurgence, and it's not that he's going to be challenging for the strong tag team titles, which is kind of the same thing. I mean, you're on that path, TJ. That's
they're one and the same,
you know, open weight thing. Yeah.
I mean, listen, if I'm a pro wrestler and I want to make my stamp, put you know, on the industry as a whole, nothing says that like the strong tag team championship. Yeah. What are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? All right. Again, these shows don't matter, right? This is like, whose line is it anyway, right? The points don't matter.
I just think, yeah, I mean, who's disrespecting the juniors here? TJP thinks he's too good for the illustrious junior division.
Have you ever?
His best of the super juniors. What? Bushi rejecting best of the super juniors. Yeah. These people will answer for their crimes.
I have never,
the junior division one day.
Never in my life have I ever been privy to so much politicking to be a leader of a faction. Never.
Did you see the angry tweet?
No.
So it was an angry tweet.
Uh-oh. Directed at you?
No, it wasn't.
Thank
it
God, was, there's a first. All
right. It was, I mean, this was all up on Twitter. It was Walker Stewart had posted something basically summarizing the storylines with United Empire at the moment. And it said something along the lines of TJP now allegedly being a freelancer and the leadership of United Empire being in dispute or something like that. Okay. It was nothing that hasn't already been mentioned a million times.
Okay.
But there was a grumpy tweet response from TJP.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find it. It's in our group chat, which has got about a bajillion messages in it.
Oh, I can't go through
but
that.
I will find it. So bear with me. And the tweet was deleted from
Oh, he deleted Walker.
He deleted it. Okay. And when I first looked at it, I saw it was fairly innocuous. I didn't really see.
He was angry at Walker?
Well, yeah, so have you? So this TJP said, "Have you guys ever thought about not making our jobs harder with the narratives you create? Some of us get left holding the fucking bag."
Woo!
So he was not happy, and I sort of tried to understand it from his perspective. Like, was it, you think, referring to him as a freelancer, or saying that he's not the leader of? So yeah, this is the original tweet said, "With Cobb being announced as an exit and TJP reportedly competing as a freelancer, Callum Newman has also implied claims of becoming the new leader of United Empire, or at least putting the pieces of the shit back together. More on this to come." So, like, purely storyline stuff. I didn't think there was anything really egregious there. But do you think? What
yeah,
do you think?
I mean, yeah. Where? What's what? Who would have? Why would that be an issue?
I'm to play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Call it maybe referring to TJP as a freelancer, or disputing who's the leader of United Empire, or saying, yeah, is there a problem with that? Yeah,
I mean, look, again, I don't understand this fascination with being the leader of United. Why is he obsessed with this? Why would he tweet that? Like, Like, is that like a silly tongue-in-cheek tweet? Or would you... Well, he deleted it.
No, he sounded genuinely upset. Yeah. No, so Walker deleted the tweet. The tweet from TJP that says, don't make our jobs harder, we're left holding the fucking bag. That's still up there as far as I know.
Okay. I don't...
But I just thought it was interesting sort of examining from the angle of what is someone like Walker or Chris Johnson's responsibility when reporting and talking about these kind of situations. So if it is it is out there as public knowledge or reported by reputable outlets that TJP is a freelancer, for example, is it then not okay for someone hypothetically like Walker or Chris to mention that? Like, do they have a duty to put this kind of stuff through a filter consult the wrestlers first and say, hey, this is quite a messy situation. How do you want me to spin this to make you guys look good? Or do you think they just call it as it is and maintain that sort of credibility that way?
I think they, again, there's a big difference between Joel tweeting out something and Walker Stewart tweeting something out. Like, I feel like if you are a part of the company, yes, that should be vetted. I'm sorry. I do. I definitely do. That being
quite a tricky distinction to make, because when I looked at that at first, what Walker said, I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I'm in full agreement. Like, I don't see why that tweet is particularly an issue, quite frankly. But that being said, I do believe there should be some vetting and synergy there. Yes. But I don't think in this particular instance that warranted a problem. That's where my confusion is. It's like, what was the problem with that tweet?
Okay.
Listen, it's so silly. We're talking about.
I thought that was an interesting little tidbit to just sort of consider.
It is
the responsibilities of people who work for the company, and
that's the
sort of stuff that I wouldn't have even thought twice about. I guess that's why I'm not employed by New Japan. That's probably the only reason that I can think of.
Think about this, Joel. Think about this. If you were running their Twitter account or were working, you want to be able to tweet out gems like dressing up as the black and white lion mark logo for Halloween. That is the fucking funniest thing.
It wasn't my best one this week. Did you see my one about the tariffs?
Let me see. Let me hop on the Super JCast Twitter account. See here, Justin.
So that one was an absolute banger and upset all the right people as well, which is my benchmark for a good tweet.
I see the clearly see a tiny Tanahashi. Osprey's
no, nipple. Before that.
All right. I see the Callum Newman one. I see that. I'm fed up with the trade deficit between myself and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Is this the one?
Yes.
I pay for their product, but they do not buy anything from me. I've decided, therefore, to voluntarily pay them higher prices because it will encourage me to start my own Japanese program. Yeah, come on. That's good.
Look at the replies.
Tariff and foreign.
Don't name and shame, but there's one brilliant reply there.
Well, they can't all be winners.
He's taking it completely at face value.
Swing and a miss. Oh, you, ? Start a new promotion. You have no funds or the guts. Wow. Hey, that's not serious.
I was howling when I saw that one.
Oh, why not? Listen, we can start our own promotion. We don't have the funds, that's for fucking sure. The guts, sure. We got the guts. Come on. Up there.
We got the fucking balls.
The fucking balls. Oh, I got that. Wait, right, listen. No, I won't play because then Dan's got to edit it in the middle of fucking shit. You know what I mean?
And also, I need to start putting the audio on Patreon. So I'm going to ask you, I know this is a behind the curtains thing, but just to send me the audio as well. And I'm just going to put it unedited on Patreon because the patrons would like to have the podcast audio before the plebs. And I think that's absolutely fine.
I think so too. I will make sure that is done. Consider it done, people.
Immediately. I don't want them to have to wait a second.
Well, I don't know about that.
Actually, no, I should be able to download it myself, shouldn't I?
Well, yeah. You want the finished file, right? That Dan sends me, right?
No, I want the raw audio files, the Joel file and the Damon file.
You can pull that right off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When it's done,
we should be discussing this off the air.
No. It makes it more interesting. They get to see what the high energy production values that we have. Once it goes to, you know, how we wait around for 99%, the 1%, the fucking go through space and come to me. Once it's done, it's there.
That's when I want it. Yeah.
Yep. And I don't close it. So like literally when I say, all right, I'll send it to Dan tomorrow morning, my computer literally stays right there. So it's, you have to do is download.
All right. Zane J defeated CJ Tino, kick in the strong survivor match, 8 minutes, 57 seconds, Boston Crab, blah, blah, blah. He'd been listening to you, Damon. He's relinquished the strong survivor title because he knows it's an active hindrance to his career, and he's moved to Japan. And I like Zane J. I think he ticks all the boxes that you'd want from a young lion. He's tall. He's got a good body, good physique. He seems to have a strong work ethic. He emotes and sells well. He works well from underneath. He's got the snap, crackle and pop. And of course, with young lions, there's too many variables to confidently predict where he ends up, but he's shown everything I want to see at this point. CJ Tino, he looks like an annoying midfielder playing for like a European team like Porto or something. He'd spend the entire match diving and fouling and complaining to the referee in equal measure. That's what he looks like.
So he's got to do the old European football. Point at your chest and then shrug your shoulders. Point at your chest, shrug your shoulder.
Waving imaginary yellow cards.
Right. Yeah. So great. Would you be surprised if I told you that I did see this match, one. And two, I actively cheered when he made that announcement.
Yes, he did that just for you. I thought about you immediately.
Right, you should, because I mean, if I like of all the nonsense things that we bitch and moan about, that's like top 10 on my list. And finally, I can check it. I can check that box off. I never have to mention it again. Fantastic job, wonderful. I hope. I wish nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. And the end of that nonsense gimmick. Love it.
Okay, so final thoughts on Windy City Riot.
I would say scale of 1 to 10, I would give it a solid 5.5.
Fair. I know there's a lot of people who actually went to the show live who are a lot higher on it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's got the live bump for a lot of people, which is fair enough. I can imagine if you were in the building for that. And especially if you are a Yankoid in Brazil, then it's going to land.
So hurtful when you say that. I don't teach you.
Should I stop saying it?
It's not my fault, people. It's not my fucking fault. All right, good. I'm sorry.
It's Rodney Hugh Plonker on Reddit. He coined the phrase first. I'm lovingly borrowing it from.
It hurts Rodney my heart. Plonker,
who I don't think likes me or us, but if his username is a reference to my favorite bit of the Ricky Gervais XFM podcast. Rodney, you plonker! Don't call me a plonker, you frickin' wanker! Shit himself again! if you know, you know. Right, I'm going to move on. I'm constantly closing and restarting this YouTube stream because for some reason, like after 5 minutes, it just stops picking up your audio, which is really annoying, but I've just been trying to do it without
seamlessly.
So yeah, apologies for people who've been.
You're not getting a refund. YouTube, let's put it that way.
You're not getting a refund, but I will get the nice audio up to everyone pronto. I'm going to just quickly have a glance through these Dontaku cards and shows just to let you know what the highlights are.
All right.
So we have got a lot of shows. We've got Korakuen.
Will the Rock be on any of these shows?
he's at Korakuen Hall, actually. Fantastic. The Rock. Dwayne Johnson versus Bushi. No, it's not. We start Saturday in Korakuen Hall, and there is Tanahashi versus Jeff Cobb. So that's the final Jeff Cobb match coming this Saturday. Who do you think wins? That's quite
intriguing. That's a good one. Jeff Cobb wins.
I wouldn't have a problem with Jeff Cobb winning. No. And usually, when someone's leaving the company, I'm like, oh, they should lose on the way out. But I think Jeff should win. Main event here is an elimination match. Again, should they put the Cobb Tanahashi match as the main event? Maybe. Something to think about. Some fans would like that. Then Monday, Eddie and Arena, Osaka. We have absolutely nothing of interest. it's all just tag matches. There's nothing there. We're going to skip that.
Okay.
Tuesday, also Eddie and Arena 2. We've got Masatori Yasuda versus Jacob Austin Young. Ooh, there we go. Singles match. Taguchi and Goto versus Akira and Newman. No, there's nothing here.
Dustin off Taguchi.
Main event, ELP and Despy against Great Okan and Templario. Wednesday, Ehime. I don't even know if this is televised. We've got a Yuya Uemura homecoming match. Oh. 10-man tag as a main event, so nothing of interest there. Kochi, Friday, April 25th. Nothing interesting there either. Wow. That's all just tag matches. And I don't know which of these are televised. We've got Wrestling Red Zone in Hiroshima.
Let's go.
Sun Plaza Hall, Saturday, April 26th. Scrolling. Special tag match, Umino and Yuya against Shingo and Tsuji. Oh, here we go. This is quite interesting. Seventh match, special tag match, Hiromu and Naito.
In Hiroshima. Against,
in Hiroshima against the tag team of Tomohiro Ishii and Taichi. I like that tag team.
Interesting. That's a Tomohiro Ishii and Taichi.
Yeah.
How'd they come up with that one?
Well, I see just four guys got subsumed into Hontai.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Main event for that is the vacant IWGP Tag Team Championships being contested between Bishamon and Callum Newman and Great Okan. So I guess at least three people in that match are going to be leaving New Japan or undergo some sort of terrible misfortune. That's the way things are going right now. Then we've got another Road 2 show. Nothing good on that.
The Rock is not on any of those shows, correct?
The Rock is not on that. Okay. We've got Wrestling Hizen no Kuni Saga in the Saga Arena. For this one, we have got TV Championship match, ELP Great Okan rematch.
Okay.
We've got the Junior Tag Championships, Fujita and Robbie Eagles defending against Master Huato and Yo. Mm. And main event, Junior Heavyweight Championship match, Despy defending against Templario.
That should be pretty good. That's up him.
Then we've got a Kumamoto show. Nothing good on that. We have a show from Ichikikusukino. Ichikikusukino.
You're fluid.
That's a good name.
You really are.
Fukuoka, then Wrestling Dontaku. It's two nights again.
Why?
Right, so night one.
Why would they do two?
Murashima against Daiki Nagai. First match, Watto, Yo, Oleg, Yano against Fujita, Robbie, Hartley Jackson, Ryohei Oiwa. Second match, Taka, Taichi, Ishii, Yuya against Bushi, Hiromu, Naito, Tsuji. Third match, Taguchi, Yoshihashi, Goto against Jacob Austin Young, Great Okan, Callum Newman. Fourth match, Jado and El Fantasmo versus Konosuke, Takeshita, and X. Do you see the issue here? Do you see the problem with these Dontaku cards? Fifth match, Tanahashi, Final Road Kinship, Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Sixth match, special singles match, Shingo Takagi. And oh, look, it's another prominent match for Shota Umino. Maybe the cake will be ready and delicious this time. And main event. Seventh match, Dog Pound Cage match, Ishimori, Clark Connors, Driller Maloney, Gabe Kidd, David Finlay against Kanemaru, Sho, Sanada, Ren, Narita, and King of Darkness, Evil. So that's night one of Dontaku.
Okay, we're rocking and rolling with another cage match. I like that. I think Zach and Tanahashi will be pretty great. They've had countless great matches. One of my favorite feuds, to be truthful. Anything else on that show that I'm particularly excited about? Probably not. Those two matches, though, should be pretty fucking solid, I think.
Yeah, Dontaku's always been like this, to be honest. It's always been just...
I don't know why they do two nights, tag matches. Oh, it's just it's mind-boggling.
Then May the 4th, night two, kickoff match, Murashima and Taguchi against Jetway and Hitomaru Sasaki. First match, Baton, Bura Bura, and Mentai Kid against Gedo and Taiji Ishimori. Then second match, Watto and Yoshihashi against Jacob Austin Young, Great Khan. Then there's a Stardom showcase between two unnamed wrestlers. I will translate to English. It says Kuhaku versus Kuhaku, and I don't know what that means. And now I've got stuck with a Google Translate version. So we've got fourth match, Oleg the Ball and the Phantasm versus Konosuke Takeshita and X.
Okay.
Then fifth match, Hartley Jackson, Kosei Fujita, Robbie Eagles, Ryohei Oiwa, Zack Sabre Jr. against Hiroshi Tanahashi, Toriano, Yo, People's Republic of China, and Rich.
Wow. Rich Craich making a
Rich Craich. Okay. You'll never guess who that is. I'm trying to put that back to the original language.
Okay. Let's
who is Rich?
All right, who is Rich? Okay. So who's give me the team again, please.
So the teaming up with Tanahashi, Toriano, Yo, People's Republic of China, which is actually Shikuzen Ryota.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah. Who? Obviously.
And Rich.
Yeah, who is Rich?
Rich Craich, played by Joe Lanza.
You'll never guess this. This is so random. Why did it translate that to Rich?
I have no
clues.
Idea. Who?
Japanese buzzsaw.
Japanese buzzsaw.
Yeah. Had a stint in WWF/E in the late 2000s. Early 2000s.
We're talking
early to mid 2000s.
Tajiri?
Yes, Tajiri. Yes, Tajiri is Rich. And Tajiri is going to be wrestling in the New Japan ring.
What? What?
Followed by Tetsuya Naito and Bushi's last New Japan match with, check this one out, Taka Michinoku, Taichi, Tomohiro Ishii, and Shota Umino against Bushi, Hiromu, Naito, and Shingo.
So wow, way to go out with a bang.
Last match for the company.
Holy fuck.
Then we've got the Global Heavyweight Championship match, Yu Uemura challenging Yota Tsuji, and main event, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Hiroki Goto against Callum Newman. What?
Fucking show. Holy moly. Oh, wow. Well, we're back. We're back. Whew. That might be.
Edit there.
Yeah. I dropped them. I'm flabbergasted. Again, two shows, Naito, both shows. I get it. Everything else. I don't know what we're doing. I really don't. I wish I could sit here and tell you that I knew. I don't. I have no idea. Fucking, when you said the Japanese buzzsaw, right? I'm like, well, who calls themselves that now? Like, who's that? Like, and then you went on to say WWF, WWE 2000, and my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe. Somebody help me. Somebody help me with that one. There has to be some connection, some synergy. There has to be a reason. Why? Why are we doing this? What are we doing? Callum Newman's challenging for the world title, Joel. What are we doing?
I will say this, right? People are very annoyed about that and annoyed about the overpushing of Shota Umino. But I will say at least they're trying something new. At least they're trying to push young talent. So you may not like it, but at least they're giving it a go.
That's like saying, I love cocaine, but I'm going to try something new. Anybody have any meth? You know what I mean?
I'm not sure that's a fair comparison.
No? All right. I tried. Let me ask you this. Please explain to me how Callum Newman gets this title shot. What has he done to earn this title shot? And go.
He has pinned Tetsuya Naito.
Uh-huh.
He might pin Goto in the tag title match.
Oh, I probably will. Probably will.
There you go. Then he would have retroactively earned the title match that he's going to get anyway.
Oh, wowzers. Look. I can't say I'm excited, and I'm dying to hear how people might spin excitement over Duntaku shows. That, my friend, I'll tell you what, I would prefer Rich Krejci being in a match, because then I would actually look forward to something. Rich, we'll pay for the flight. I don't know. I don't think he's ever been to Japan, right? Right? Let's get Rich Krejci over to Japan in this match. That's the move. That's the move. Stop yelling at me. That's the greatest Rich Krejci line ever. Stop yelling at me. I get it. All right. What do you want to talk about now? Are we done?
You're done.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Go Arkham. Bye.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hey, can you hand me that 11/16?
Here you go.
Thanks.
So, you still loving your new garage?
Yep. Building it with QSI was the best decision.
QSI, huh?
QSI got the job done fast and right, and I was able to set it up just like I always wanted. Jess even told her sister she's throwing a one-person parade since I'm not underfoot anymore.
Let QSI turn your dream shop into reality. Visit QualityStructures.com today.